Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, we're going to shift gears on today's program. We talk about personal finance often, but I also have things that we really like to get in and talk about on the business side. And of course, having a business, I'm very tuned into the not just to the financial world and doing financial work and providing financial services, but hey, listen, there's a business to run here, so I'm tuned into that as well. And we come across guests that can help us, and you heard him giggling in the background. David Long, welcome to the program.
Thank you. It's a privilege to be here, David.
I'm glad to have you, and I'll go ahead and properly introduce you. David is a speaker, author, successful CEO, and student of the game of business. He's written the book Built to Lead, and his website is top10manager.com. We invited David to come on and talk with us about how to build a team, how to have good business practices, also talking to the folks that want to be good managers, be it whatever type of business, and how they can excel leveraging David's concepts. And so the book is Built to Lead, 7 Management Reward Principles for Becoming a Top 10% Manager. Is that correct?
That is accurate.
All right. So there's a lot in David's background. We could spend the next 3 hours describing his background. Yeah. I'm not going to do that because I want to get to the heart of what David would like to share with us, because I don't have 3 hours. I've got half an hour, and we want to get right to it. So you game with that, David?
I am indeed.
All right. So let's start with really what's going on here. What are you seeing? What got you motivated about this area and brought you to the point of writing a book? Because I know how long and how much work that is.
Sure. I would say probably there are two main reasons why I wrote the book. First of all, World at Work survey is done every few years. And what they found was, and it's consistent, by the way, over the last 6 or 7 surveys that they've done, this is about almost solidly the same numbers. For every 100 employees in any given company, and this is in the United States, but there, for every 100 employees, only six or seven of those people ever become a manager or get promoted to manager. And of those 6 or 7 people, less than one, David, ever gets promoted to second level. So there's a massive failure rate. And the reason, and I say this in the book, is the number one reason that managers have such a massive failure rate is the fact that once they get promoted, they feel like, okay, I'm good. I don't need to learn anything else.
Oh, okay.
And that's the number one problem, because I say that anyone who thinks they've arrived is going to be roadkill in the way of someone who knows that that's not the case. You never arrive. You're always thriving to improve and learn something new. That's the number one reason.
Well, you know what I say, David? What I say on that is you got 1 year of experience the last 12 months, and I better still be learning.
That's right. Absolutely. Because that's the problem, is people think, oh, I know it all. That's why in a typical person in the United States, less than 1% of people read a solid book cover to cover, other than junk, you know, something that doesn't do them any good, a year. They read less than one book a year. That's pathetic. So much information out there, but they're so busy watching TV, you know, 5 to 7 hours a day, that I don't have time to read, Dave. So I get that excuse a lot, but it's bunk. I read 3 to 4 hours every day. And I only work on my company now, David. I never work in it anymore. I don't answer the phone. I don't do employee engagement surveys with our, you know, roughly 12,000 clients in the U.S. and Canada. I don't do any of that. I only work on my people, because I agree with Abraham Lincoln, whose picture I'm actually looking at in my library here at the house. And he said this. He said, if I've got 7 hours to chop down a tree, I'm going to spend the first 4 hours sharpening my axe. And that's what I do every day. I sharpen my people. And that's why we are in the top 1% in the world in the employee engagement recognition industry.
Well, and I was going to mention that. That's pretty impressive. A 25-year-old firm to be in the top 1% worldwide employee engagement. Pretty cool. So there's a lot of people that just don't sharpen their axe. That's what I'm hearing you
yeah,
you say.
Most people don't.
Well, it's interesting, because for the managers or the folks, including business owners, and I'm, of course, conveniently, I'll jump on the couch here and be a patient.
All right.
I'm a business owner. I've got a team of 15 people, and I've got people that have some management responsibilities underneath me, but still my company, and I pay attention closely. And there's a balancing act, I think, that a lot of people would say to you. So I'll give me the other side of this, because I'm providing services to clients, providing them financial planning advice and consultation. I'm guiding them. I'm a resource to them. And I've also got people. And so there's a business to run. So what do you say to the business owner like me? And there's lots of us out there in America. You know, we're the backbone of America. If you look at the statistics, what do you say to business owners like me, David, that we spend part of our time being the rainmaker, we spend part of our time providing services to clients or whatever it is, or we also, though, have the business and the employees to sharpen, if you will?
Yep. Yeah, and that's your number one thing as the leader of the company. You set the direction. You set the tone of the company. And you're not going to be able to handle every client yourself, David, or you would never be able to grow a company. And that means that you have to sharpen up, as we say, the people that work with you, and you have to constantly work on them and make sure that they're happy. Because, quite frankly, if your people aren't happy, your clients are going to defect in droves. So, or droves, I should say. So
amen
to
that.
Something that is your number one thing. Your number one responsibility is to make sure your people are taken care of.
Okay.
And that they feel appreciated, because it goes downhill uphill.
All right. Well, hey, listen, that's a fair way of putting it. And mm-hmm. Now, can I use a grindstone on them? Or if I'm going to sharpen my axe, can I use an actual grindstone on them?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Every person is different. And, you know, you just have to, know your people on a level far more than just, hi, how are you this morning? And I'll see you tomorrow. It's got to be a lot more in depth than that.
So it's okay.
You know, I talk about in my book, about our book club, where I pay my employees an hour a week, all roughly almost 50 employees now, to be in a room for an hour a week. I buy books for everybody. I pass them out. Half the company comes at Wednesday morning at 10, the other half Thursday morning at 10. We spend an hour together, paid by me, and pretty expensive, but it pays off in a massive way, because we are a much more engaged team. They know I care about them. I know about them. You know, I help them. We buy books, for example, like Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. David, I had three of my employees come to me after that book, after we finished it, and they said, Dave, that book saved my marriage. Let's just stop with that. Because if you are stressed out, your marriage is falling apart, or you don't have money since you're in the financial industry, and I also bought Dave Ramsey's book and Financial Peace University, because I want my employees to be wholly comfortable and at peace, if you will, in their life. I don't want them distracted by creditors calling them, and then they have it messes up their day when they're talking to our clients. So I work on the total employee, the total team member, if you will, the total person. That's what I focus on. And that's what's made us immensely successful.
So
my people know I care, and then they care about our clients in turn.
Amen to that. So it's not one size fits all. Here's my philosophy, and I've always lived with this. You don't have to treat everybody identically.
Not everybody deserves to be treated identically. You know, you treat them with respect and everything.
Of course.
David, I guarantee you've got employees who are more loyal to you than others. You've got employees that are more dependable than others. The greatest ability is dependability. You can't build on it if they're not there.
I agree with that. Well, in being in the financial business, I can't have a revolving door.
I know you can't.
I cannot.
You spend a lot of money training your people. I know you do, because my brother, Randy Long, is in that business, and he has a rather large staff. He's also a wealth management attorney, if you will, but he also manages money. So it's pretty serious stuff. So you've got to pay attention to what you're doing. That's a definitely, your industry, oh my goodness, you cannot stop. Well, you will definitely be roadkill, for sure.
Well, and we do take that seriously, working for the clients and making sure their needs are met. And we do need to keep our axes sharp and make sure we're doing well. I think your idea of the, I wrote it down. I wrote down paid study hall. I love the idea.
Book club. We call it book club.
Book club. Okay, well, I got to call it something different. I'm going to call it study hall. Actually, you know what? Actually, we do have a person in my office, and because I have her do this for me. She does a lot, looks at the magazines, because I don't have time to sit down and thumb through magazines, but she goes and gets me summary, finds the ones that are relevant to me, and she's been with me for a long time, so she knows what I'm interested in, and we turn around, we share that with our staff, and
awesome.
So that's, but they don't always have time to look at it, so we need to make sure that's a formal process.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Sure. Very good stuff. You're just joining us. David Long is on the line, speaker, author, successful CEO, and student of the game of business. He's written the book Built to Lead, 7 Management Rewards Principles for Becoming a Top 10 Manager. It's available on Amazon. We're going to grab a quick break. We'll come back. I'll have David tell you a little bit about a special offer he's got. And we're going to dig a little deeper into how people can differentiate themselves. And we also need to get into some of these generational issues that I know David can speak to. Generation X, Generation Y, if those are your market. Let's get to that. So quick break, right back.
When it comes to finding an advisor you can trust, are you unsure of the questions to ask? David Holland has written a book that can help, and it's called How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Scams. David has crammed his experience and insider knowledge about advisors and how they operate into this popular book. Visit Amazon.com to order your copy today. Or if you'd like to meet one-on-one with David to discuss your financial goals and concerns, he'll give you a free copy of his book when you meet. There's no cost or obligation. The number to call for your appointment with David is 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And welcome back. David Long on the line with me. He is an author, CEO, speaker. He's a knowledgeable guy in the business area for sure, and he's written the book, Built to Lead, 7 Management Reward Principles for Becoming a Top 10% Manager. In your book, David, you've got a motto, build yourself, build your team, and together you'll be built to lead. That's quite a statement. I guess it's a lot of getting everybody on board and getting them to see the company vision. But for a lot of folks that hear that message, they go, well, come on, David, what do you mean? I mean, that seems kind of easy to say. How do people then get your book? They can read it. How do they implement stuff like this? That's always been the challenge, I think, for business people who are already busy, who are already doing stuff, to take the concepts that you share, which make a lot of sense, to implement them.
Well, first of all, you have to be an effective delegator for one thing. I today, you know, like I said, I don't work in the company at all today. I only work on my people. I don't deal with clients pretty much at all anymore. But I make sure my people do an exceptionally good job, and that's what I focus on. And that's the thing, you know, think about it. Every one of my team, almost 50 people, are the company to their clients that they handle. And that's what you have to think about. So if you're always focused on improving everything and everybody and every process within the company, that's my job. That's what I do, you know, every day. So if you're really going to be successful, you know, and a lot of people, I guess you could say this is establishing the credibility for what I'm saying right here. You know, I'm actually in three separate unrelated industries in my 35-year management career. I have become a top 10% is what I say. Actually, it's actually top 1% in three different industries. But most people can't, they figure they'll never get anywhere near top 1%. So I wanted to make it reachable and attainable, and it is. But that's, you know, what I've learned all those years, I've applied, I've put in place, I'm completely debt-free, as Dave Ramsey would holler and scream. You know, I don't have any debt. You know, I have three houses, paid for it. Motor coach, paid for it. My office building, 20,000 square feet, everything in it, paid for it. Because I practice what I preach, if you will. And like I said, I know what I'm doing, and it fascinates me, Dave, and I'm sure it will you as well. You know, I've got 35 years, like I said. I put all that in a book, giving people my best stuff. And it sells for roughly, you know, $19 and some change. And it's like successful people, you know, will do what unsuccessful people will not do. And you know this, David. But successful people, when I hear about a great book, I go right immediately on Amazon and I buy it. A lot of people think, like, you know, I'm not going to spend $20. But, you know, Dave, I spent $400 for a paperback book one time. And everybody out there, and you too, you might be saying the same thing. Well, that's about stupid. But you know what? That book made me millions of dollars. So was that stupid? No. But that's what I'm saying. I constantly search for new things to help me and the company and the clients be more successful. And that's your number one goal as a leader of the company. You got to be able to delegate out the piddly crap, pardon me, that doesn't really matter to the success. You know, like you said, you don't read everything. Well, that's smart, because if you took the time to read everything and it didn't really matter, then you would waste a lot of value. So you had to force that down to the organization to be successful.
Outstanding stuff, David. Well, I'm curious, you mentioned the success in three different industries. Obviously, that implies, I doubt you completely or radically changed your management style across those three industries. So
no,
that tells me,
that's right.
That tells me it's transferable across industries. Mm-hmm. Just out of curiosity, were they diverse industries or related? What were the three?
No, totally diverse. The first 13 years of my life were basically in retail, and I was one of 7 out of 1,200 managers in retail. I was chosen one of the top 7. They didn't give us our rank, but I was chosen one of the top 7. And also after that, you know, I got into my industry that I'm in now, which is the employee engagement recognition industry, top 1% by a long shot, and also real estate investment. You know, I have assets that I have because I took the money from my company and I diversify and I learn new things. I invest in other companies. You know, I mean, that's as a real estate investor, I'm in the top 1% from what I've read.
Hmm.
Definitely top 10%. Let's just be conservative and say top 10%.
You know, I think a lot of people, David, would be very happy to get in the top 10%. I mean, I think that a lot of people would like to be there, especially trying to grow and make more of their career. And I have to ask, I'm going to shift gears on you if you don't mind. I want to shift gears because one of the other things that kind of jumped out me from your book was this shark teeth strategy for leadership development. What is that? That's a little scary. Is that like get thrown in the water and it's just swim for your life? What is that?
No, basically what it is you've ever, you know, I live here on the east coast of North Carolina, down here at the ocean, in Wilmington, North Carolina. And if you've ever seen a shark's mouth, and most people have, at least in pictures, you know that the front teeth, behind each front tooth, is a row of teeth, each one, ready to pop up when their opportunity comes. So by that, when I say Shark's Teeth Leadership Development Program, is that I meet with my management staff, typically once a week when I'm in town, and I travel, by the way, 20 to 22 weeks a year I take off. So once again, my principles are proven, and that's proof right there. But anyway, when I meet with my managers, periodically I will ask him, I will say, Adam, God forbid that something happens to you, but who do you recommend to take your place if something happens to you? And then the second question, David, is what are you doing to develop that person? What are you doing to help them learn what it is that you do every day so that they can learn and be as effective as you are? Because, David, I don't care if you have the nicest car on the road with four tires, if one of them goes flat or blows out in some way, you are stopped. So if you have four great managers, and God forbid one of them's in a car accident, laid up in the hospital for 6 months, a lot of companies would just fall apart right there. So you have to have someone always ready to pop up like that shark tooth is going to do in the shark's mouth. So that's what the only way you're going to be successful is to build, once again, your people first. That's what's part of it. That's a huge part of it. And our people know that we are trying to groom them. And I even had a young lady who got her MBA recently, and she wanted to be in management right away. We didn't have an opening, but we do have a world class. And then, so we helped her find a job in another company of a business friend of mine who's in my mastermind group. She's tickled pink and so is he.
Pretty cool stuff. David Long, ladies and gentlemen, speaker, author, successful CEO, and student of the game of business, and he's walking the walk and talking the talk. He's all over it, I think, and we're glad to have him on the program. Build to Lead, the 7 Management Rewards Principles for Becoming a Top 10% Manager. Quick break. When we come back, we will get to Gen X and Gen Y, and we'll also talk about David's Amazon offer for you. Stay right there.
Since 1997, David Holland has built a solid reputation in our local community as an independent financial advisor. Just as important, Holland Financial's professional team has grown to include 3 experienced certified financial planners, a tax accountant, an attorney, 3 chartered financial consultants, accredited asset management specialist, and certified annuity specialist. Our attentive and professional staff gives prompt and accurate service to our 300-plus clients. If you're looking for financial advice you can count on today and for many years to come, call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us online at planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
And welcome back. David Long on the line with us. Hey, book to read, Built to Lead, 7 Management Reward Principles for Becoming a Top 10% Manager. And David is with us on the website, top10manager.com. David, I mentioned you've got the book, and there's a special Amazon order. Do tell my listeners about it.
I definitely will. I want people to read the book, first and foremost. I'm a business person. I'm actually in the trenches. I don't write about things in theory. I write about things I've done and other people have done. So I want people to read the book, and as an incentive to make sure that they do, if your listeners will go to Amazon.com and buy my book, Built to Lead by David Long, if they will send me an email at davidlong@top10manager.com, I will send them the Kindle version of the book for free. And that is selling for $9.95 on Kindle, right now, so on Amazon. So I want people to read the book. You know, I don't need the money aspect of it. That's why I'm not going out and doing book signings. But, okay. You know, I don't want to mess up my life, quite frankly, David. But I do want people to read the book. And I just had a gentleman who's actually a college leader, one of the administrative people in college up in Pennsylvania. And he sent me an email, and he said this. He said, "Dave, it's like your book is like you and I sitting in my living room, both having a cup of coffee and having a conversation." That is exactly the way I wrote it. It's called, my writing style is called Conversation Ease. It takes about a couple hours to read the book, but it will rock your world if you have a team of people.
Well, I do have a team, and I am going to read the book. How's that? And I want to get to these different generations. I'll be very quick to confess, David, these Gen X, Gen Y, all of that is a mystery to me personally. I'm focused on, and I'm sure you can appreciate this from a financial planning standpoint, a lot of my clients are baby boomers and retirees.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
It just happens to be that they're the ones with the money, and that's what I do. They're the ones that principally need my help. But then there's a lot of folks over in those other younger generations that certainly will need financial advice as well. So
yes.
For me and for the listeners, you know, break us down here. Gen X, Gen Y, who are they? How? What makes them different? Are they different from each other? What should we know?
Yes, definitely. There are some differences, you know, how they think about certain things. But everybody, and I don't care regardless of age, and I have employees in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and 50s, and every one of them is looking for one thing, David, and that is significant. They want somebody to tell them that they matter. And that's how you get loyalty. If they believe that you genuinely care about them and you want to help them improve in their life, they will follow you wherever you go and whatever you want to do, period. And that's proven. You know, Gallup organization, in this case, it's George Mason University, did a survey, and they said, here's these 10 things, managers. Tell us what you think these things matter to the employees. And then employees, 1,800 of them, tell us what you think these things matter to you in the proper rank. And managers found, when they asked, said, what do you, you know, number one thing that you think matters to employees, they said, money. Well, employees said, money's number five. And then you say, well, what do they have as number one? Well, they wanted to have a feeling that they were making a difference and contributing to the success of the company. And guess what they wanted number two right behind that? And that was employee recognition. They wanted to be recognized for the contribution of the company. Managers, you want to talk about a 180 disconnect? Managers had recognition of employees at number 8. Employees had it at number 2. Massive disconnect. So no wonder they're messed up. But as far as the ages, once again, significance to everybody, that takes care of 99 problems. I was recently on a show with in New York City on an interview with a lady who was an HR expert. And a very knowledgeable lady. And she went through all the different ways that, and she dominated the entire call. And she went through all the different ways that they handle the different age groups. And I said one thing. I said, when they finally got the chance for me to talk, I said, let me ask you one question. So what you're telling me is that when you have a problem with an employee, that manager has to stop what they're doing, run down to HR and say, how old is so-and-so? I need to know how to treat them.
That's good.
Ludicrous.
Yeah, that is good.
You know?
That's rich.
You know, it's just plain stupid. And like I said, yes, there are a little difference as far as that goes, but that's not the main thing. Show them what they want to be shown, and that's that they're significant, and that they matter, and that you care about their opinion and their life. And then they, like I said, they'll be immensely loyal to you. You will not have any of this junk about somebody being 20 years older or younger than somebody else.
Seems pretty straightforward to me the way you lay it out, David. Is this what we can expect from the book?
Yes, indeed. Absolutely. And that's the way I write. Like I said, it's just you and I sitting down, having a cup of coffee and talking about life and business.
All right. Excellent. Well, Beth, let me know that I have a copy of the book and I get to read it
when we
finish the program.
Good.
I love it. I love it. So what would be, give us another sneak peek. Cause I want to make sure that the folks out there listening to this program, especially the people that are in places of in a position of management, what should they, you mentioned the recognition, you know, and I think you're right. A lot of times that is really not where people's focus, the managers, where their focus is. They're looking at, you know, the sheer task at hand. They're making sure things are going right way and not sharpening the axe. They're out there using the axe. And
yeah.
And then they also, and I have been guilty of this myself. I'm focused on making sure people, they get paid, that we keep their health insurance. We just got hit whacked with another health insurance increase.
Yeah,
thanks a lot very much for that. And and so, you know,
yeah.
I'm looking at, okay, hey, we do these things. We make sure we have health insurance. We pay for it for our employees.
Yeah.
But the recognition part, that how can we do a better job of recognition? There's a cost there, obviously. What are some of the things we should think about with that?
Well, first of all, if you do not pay attention to what I'm about to tell you, your employee recognition program is going to fail. And that is, it cannot be a personality contest, which is what most managers allow to happen. Not going to work. What you have to do is you have to base the winner on metrics, proven metrics that no one could argue with. It's pretty easy with sales, David, because, hey, Tom had, 100,000 in sales and Becky had 80, so Tom was number one. But you know what? It's more than just the sales volume. It's how much profit was in his sales compared to hers. You know, how many referrals did she get? She was number one in that. He was number three in, in the sales force. So all these things matter. And you reward, David, the things you want to see repeated. If I want to see someone increase their profits on the things they sell, I want to make sure they're protecting the bottom line of the company. So I'm going to give more weight in the metric system to someone who's making profit. Because here's the deal. If I sell one company and they do $1 million, that's better than me selling 1,000 companies with that $1 million split between them. I've got a lot less work with the one company than I do with 1,000. So, that's, you focus on the things that make the company money, but also make the people, your employees, your team members money as well. So that's critical. It cannot be a personality contest. And that is the number one thing managers do out there. And here's what they tell you. After 3 months, they don't do it anymore.
How about that?
Because they realize that, I'll let the employees pick. Really? I bet you have some of your employees and your team members there that are more popular than others. So you're not going to, some of the best people are just serving in the wings, real quiet. They do their job every day, and they don't give you any grief, but they don't really get any recognition because the other employees, Joe's a lot more popular. He tells jokes all the time. Everybody likes Joe. You recognize Joe, but Joe's the schmo. He comes in 2 hours late every day and leaves 1 hour early. He doesn't do his job. It's ridiculous, but everybody likes him, so he gets chosen to be employee of the month. And then the other employees that are really your best people that are working hard get very frustrated, and then they do what Gallup organization said. They said 47% of your best people are looking to leave you right now because you are not recognizing their contribution to the company. And that's huge. Don't drop the ball on that.
Amen to that. David Long, ladies and gentlemen, full of vigor and good, knowledgeable information. We're glad to have him on. And the book is, one more time, Built to Lead, 7 Management Rewards Principles for Becoming a Top 10% Manager. It's on the corner of my desk now, I've been told, and I'm going to read it as soon as we finish. I am very glad you decided to spend some time with us, David. We'll have to have you back. And top10manager.com is a website. Thank you so much, Mr. David Long.
Thank you, David. I appreciate the chance.
You're very welcome.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.